T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Upset? Let it out with us.
Bob and Jeff, the drive afternoons at 4 on KFH.
1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Your sports station.
I love the way you look tonight. Brian Adams, the musical theme for the week. Work to contact Sam Quinn from CBSSports.com. There he is. Sam Quinn joins us. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Let's go with surprised. I was a Clippers apologist all year. And, yeah, I've had my comeuppance over the past 12 hours or so. So
you have had a rough go of it.
Yeah, you know what? I stand by the idea behind the pick, and – maybe I should have seen what was coming a bit earlier, but honestly, like, if you would have told me this was how it was going to play out before the season, I would have called you crazy. Like, I thought they were the best team, and clearly they weren't.
Well, I made the observation, we're talking with Sam Quinn from CBSSports.com, I made the observation just from watching that it looked like there was something more deeply wrong than just performance. It looked to me like there was something amiss with chemistry or on the bench or in the locker room. Did you pick up on any of that?
Well, yeah, and to me, it's pretty simple. Like, Kawhi and Paul George played 37 games together during the regular season. They didn't have a single lineup available to them in the playoffs that was in the top 50 in minutes played during the season. They barely played together. Like, I'm okay with the idea of, say, Golden State coming together and adding Kevin Durant and, like, running the field. When you have that much talent, I think the talent can overwhelm everything. But, like, in a fairly crowded year, I think the Clippers came into this season expecting to just run over everybody and say, oh, we have the best roster and nothing else matters. And they kind of jogged through the season. And clearly that wasn't enough. And Paul George said it himself. He said, we didn't treat this as a championship or bust season. Lou Williams came out and said, we had championship-level talent, we didn't have championship-level chemistry, and I think it's pretty obvious what happened. They didn't take the season seriously enough, and it came back to bite them.
So is that the answer then? Just, you know, give these guys a full season to play together, let them establish some chemistry, or is chemistry maybe found externally with maybe a little bit of a roster shakeup? You know the core guys, but does this team look at all different next season, the Clippers?
Yeah, there are a couple of things I would probably change if I were running the Clippers. Like, they don't have a legitimate point guard anywhere on the roster. And I think the way they looked at it was, we're going to run a bunch of pick and roll with Kawhi and with Lou Williams, and we're not really going to need that traditional table setting kind of guy just based on the way that we want to play. But as we saw, like, they were 28th in the league in total passes. They were pretty low in assists as well. Like, once the Nuggets took away that individual stuff, they had nothing to fall back on. So I would imagine they're going to be looking for a point guard somewhere. I would think they'd also want more of a traditional defensive center. Like, Jokic killed them in that entire series, and they had to double, and when they did, the Nuggets got good shots every time. So I would say those are the two priorities immediately coming into the offseason. I can't say for sure how they're going to fill them, because they don't control any of their first-round picks until 2027. You know, they have to re-sign Harrell and Morris. Like, if nothing else, you can't lose the assets because you can't replace them. So, like, yeah, they're in trouble. Like, this isn't going to be an easy walk to a championship next year, especially with the Warriors coming back and with the Nets coming back. And, like, who knows what the Lakers will do in the offseason. Like, they're going to be, like, 8 to 10 real championship contenders next season. The Clippers are going to be one of them. They're not going to be the clear favorite. They're going to have to earn it if they plan to win a championship.
Sam Quinn, our guest, he covers the NBA for CBSSports.com. I wanted to get to Denver real quickly because they've come back in their series. They've been impressive. You mentioned Jokic, who's just been dynamite, Murray. But I kind of feel like this is – I hate to say this because I don't want to undersell them. They're really good. But I feel like they've probably come to the end of the road, that they've pulled all the rabbits out of their hats. Do you buy that? Do you think the Lakers have an easier time with Denver?
Well, I mean, I think they'd certainly rather play Denver than the Clippers. Like, they played the Clippers four times, and those four games were all – they were wars. Like, they were very, very close games, very defensive-minded, took everything out of both teams. The Lakers had, I don't want to say an easy time with Denver during the season, but an easier time. And if you look at the matchups that they're coming off of, like, they just played Damian Lillard and James Harden. Jamal Murray is not going to be, you know, too challenging for them, at least on a relative basis. The Nuggets, or the Clippers rather, had nobody to throw at Nikola Jokic. The Lakers have Anthony Davis. Like, this is a significantly better matchup for them than it was for the Clippers. And as good as I think the Nuggets are, like, I don't have much of a reason to think that Denver is on the same plane as the Lakers. If you wanted to convince me one of the teams in the East could compete with the Lakers, I'd be open to it. But I feel pretty comfortable saying that the Lakers are going to get through this series relatively comfortably.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Miami. We've seen a lot of just major contributions from guys that before this season were pretty unheralded. Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Bam Adebayo, who's become heralded and is a star-level player for that team. Is this a pronouncement that, hey, the Miami Heat have arrived? Is this sustainable with those kind of role players filling a lot of their contributions, or do they maybe regress next season?
Well, you know, I keep saying the shooting is unsustainable, and then the shots keep going in. Like, I keep saying Jay Crowder is not a 45% three-point shooter, and then he keeps making, like, 4 out of 9 every game. So, you know what? I think when you're talking about variants like that, over a longer sample, you'd probably expect it to regress a little bit. But they have to win 7 more games to win the championship, and anything can happen over 7 games. So, yeah, I think there's a very real chance they win the championship this year. Now, I think there's a real chance that next year they're maybe not a good deal worse, but, you know, it's going to be a crowded East. I would assume the Bucks are better. I would assume the Nets are really, really good with Durant and Irving. You know, Toronto's not going anywhere. Boston's not going anywhere. I think there's a version of this situation for the Heat where, like, they really have to do it now, because next year the East might be so tough that it's the first round and you're playing Brooklyn or you're playing Boston. And, you know, you just can't take your championship window for granted. Like, it's here now. It can be gone in a snap. You just never know.
Sam Quinn with us from CBSSports.com. Yeah, Miami has been a huge surprise. Boston is fun to watch. This series is going to be a war. These teams don't like each other. That goes way back to Pat Riley and his days against Danny Ainge. Don't you expect this to be a 7-game series and some bloodshed eventually?
You know, I came into this series thinking Boston's better, but the thing that stood out to me yesterday was just Kemba Walker didn't look like Kemba Walker, and that's kind of been the case since middle of the Toronto series, like clearly the last couple games. And now I came into the series thinking, okay, that was Toronto's weird zones. That was the box and one stuff. But Miami did it to him too. And it's like, Miami doesn't have Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet. Like, they don't have the kind of defenders that should be able to bother him this much. I don't know if he's still a little hurt. I don't know what the deal is, but a Boston path to victory really requires Kemba to be an all-star caliber point guard. If he's having shooting nights like he had last night, this is going to be a 7-game series, or it's at least going to be tilted more towards the Heat. And, like, the Heat might be able to do this. Like, at a certain point, I do think Boston is better, but when a team is three games away from the finals, like, weird things can happen in three games. They could get like a 9-for-14 three-point shooting game from Duncan Robinson. They could make 22 threes as a game. Like, who knows? When you're three games away, like, you can taste it. Anything is possible.
You mentioned the Warriors, and that's a team, I know they're not a factor now, but certainly probably will be next year. And I'm curious just about what they look like, because they have the number two pick in the draft, a seemingly tradable asset in Andrew Wiggins. Do they turn that into anything, or do they just, you know, roll the dice with Anthony Edwards or James Wiseman and see if either of those guys can contribute and try to win the West that way next year?
I would imagine it's a veteran. I don't know who it's going to be yet. Like, I would say the dream candidates would be people like Drew Holiday, Victor Oladipo. Like, there are names out there. Nothing is really confirmed. I would say the baseline right now would be Aaron Gordon in Orlando. Like, I think if nothing else, if they called the Magic and said, we'll give you the number two pick for Gordon, they'd probably do that. There's no reason for them to do the whole, let's take somebody at number two and reload. Like, no, they have three stars that are, if not at the end of their primes, very close to it. The time to win is right now. And you saw with four stars, they were the best team in the NBA by a mile. I don't think there's a Durant-level guy out there for them to get. But if they can get somebody who's like a legitimate all-star close to it, I don't see why they can't be one of the favorites next year.
Sam Quinn with us. We wanted to ask you, Sam, before we let you go, a little more provincial questions concerning Fred VanVleet with the Raptors and Landry Shamet with the Clippers, both of whom played here at Wichita State. Fred has become a star in the league. What do you think his future holds? Will he continue to wear a Toronto uniform past this year? And then Landry, who was so promising when he first arrived in L.A., kind of relegated to a minor bench role now with the addition of Paul George. What do you think of those two players in particular?
I would hope that VanVleet stays in Toronto. Like, I know he's going to get offers. He deserves them. He's going to be a very expensive player moving forward. I would guess the Knicks are one of the teams that sniff around. But, like, VanVleet was a borderline all-star level player this year. He's in one of the best possible situations in basketball. I don't think he should be a team's, like, full-time lead ball handler. Being in this situation with Kyle Lowry where they can kind of share those duties but also, you know, really exert themselves on defense and work as off-ball shooters, that really works for them. And he's young enough to be part of whatever the next great Raptors team is because, you know, Marc Gasol is older. Kyle Lowry is older. Serge Ibaka is older. Ibaka and Gasol are free agents. Like, there's going to be turnover in Toronto. I would hope that they view VanVleet as a core piece, somebody that they can really build around and maybe use to entice somebody in 2021. As for Shamet, like, I'm kind of the opinion now that he might be their trade piece. Like, if they need to go get a veteran somewhere, they don't have any first-round picks to dangle. Well, what's the next best thing? A shooter on a rookie contract. So it's pretty uncertain there, especially, you're right, after Paul George and Kawhi came in, he sort of got marginalized. So it's pretty uncertain, but I think he can turn it around, and I think he'll be helping somebody next year. I'm just not sure it's the Clippers.
Well, we really appreciate your insight. I told our listeners before you came on the air that you're a really good follow on Twitter. You obviously really love what you do, and you love the league, and you love writing about it. So we appreciate you coming on and talking about it with us.
Yep, anytime.
Okay, thank you, Sam.
All right.
Sam Quinn from CBSSports.com. You can follow him at SamQuinnCBS. I would encourage you to do so if you're an NBA person. We'll be back with Mike Furches, Pop Culture, the topic. And then we'll get into our Top 10 Wednesday discussion. Stay with us. The Drive on KFH.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.